You know, during the prayer this morning, Dee Dee had a word about just saying yes to the Lord. That's so important that we just do that. We just say, yes, Lord. You know, and when we read something in His Word, it should be, yes, Lord. You know, it's like, well, I don't know about that. You know, have you ever come across anybody like that? You'll read something in the Word, and we'll be talking about a scripture, and they'll go, yeah, I don't know about that. You know, right? It's like, oh, you're smarter than God, right? I mean, that's really what they're saying. So there was a couple that was getting ready to go out of the country, and they got to the airport and they're standing in line. And then the husband, this isn't about me and Sue, this is about somebody else. And so he turns to his wife and he says, "I forgot the piano." And she says, "What are you talking about? You forgot the piano? I forgot the piano." And you know, and she goes, "What are you nuts? We're going out of town. We're going on an airplane. You forgot the piano." He says, "Yeah, I forgot the piano." He says, "Well, what happened was I forgot the passports. They're on the piano." You know. So it kind of relates to something I went through here about a year ago. You know. You know, but the thing is there's places that you go that you have to have a passport. You can't just go there because you want to. And one of those things is really, you know, people can go to the Father anytime they want, but as a Christian, our path to the Father is through the blood of Jesus. That is our passport. In Hebrews 10:19, he says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest of places by the blood of Jesus." So that's how we get where we're going, is by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is our passport. And it's a realm that's closed to the general public, you know, but it's the dominant mechanism by which, you know, the blood of Jesus that we use when we go into prayer. We go into prayer because we're covered by the blood of Jesus. We're under that blood. And have you ever noticed that the disciples never asked Jesus how to do miracles? They never asked him how to heal the sick, right? They never asked him how to cast out devils. They never asked him how to make the blind see and the deaf to hear. But the one thing they did in Luke 11:1 was this. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." So every time Jesus prayed, something happened, right? When you read the New Testament, every time Jesus prayed, something supernatural happened. People got healed, eyes were open, ears were open, the lame would walk. 5,000 people would get fed off of a 2-piece fish dinner. I mean, it just every time he prayed, something happened. Why do you think that happened? Because he was connected to who? The Father. He was connected to the Father. He had a relationship with the Father. He was connected. Have you ever noticed that all through the New Testament, Jesus refers to God as Father, except when he was on the cross. When the sin was put on him, then he referred to him as God. That relationship had gotten broken because of the sin. So I'm going to start a series on prayer. And after prayer, I think, you know, I'm just kind of been thinking in my head, just kind of give you a heads up. I'm going to do some, we'll probably do a month or two on this. And then we're going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer for most of this. You know, "Our Father who art in heaven," right? We all know that. Right? Anybody not know how to know the "Our Father"? You know, well, you will. You know, and then I want to talk about our authority here afterwards, and faith after this. I'm not sure which order, but those are two things going into the time period that we are going into, you guys. I think we need to reiterate on some of these items. So, but listen, what I want to do this morning is open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And so I want to lay some groundwork this morning on about prayer, about what prayer is, and we'll be getting into a lot of the details later, but Matthew 6:5. In fact, where's my Bible? In verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6, he says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." So as we begin in this teaching this morning, and the first thing he says here in verse 5, he says, "When you pray," right? So when he says, "When you pray," he's talking to his disciples, and we saw that they just asked him to teach them to pray. And so in Matthew, he says, "When you pray," right? So he's making an assumption here that if you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to do what? You're going to pray. So he says, "When you pray." He's not saying when you consider or just when you get in trouble or just when you need something. He says, "When you pray." Okay? So the basic understanding of prayer here that we're going to see this morning is that it's relational. It's relational communication with God. Prayer, I'm going to say it again, is relational communication with God. Okay? It's not just talking, it's relational. Our Father who art in heaven. That means when he says Father, what does that mean? You have a what kind of a connection? You have a familiar connection, right? We have, if he's my Father, then he's family, right? Okay, so we're not, if we're not cultivating this father-son, father-daughter relationship in our prayers, then we're just using Jesus. And if you want your prayers to be answered, the desires of your heart to be answered, you can't be just using Jesus. We have to have a relationship with our Father. Okay? So, you know, when we can't just because I need, the only time I pray is when I need something. That's not a relationship. Again, that comes back to usury. You know, oh, I need something. I need to go. You know. Last week we did a sermon on Thanksgiving. You know, and that comes to mind. I'm being thankful for what? You know, for the very air that I breathe, right? For my house, for my vehicles, for my wife, for my kids, for you, for this place. I'm thankful. You know, and I don't just go to God and say, "God, I need." You know, I think the worst thing you can do is when you do pray, "Lord, this is what I need. I'm here to tell you what I need. I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and I need this is broke, that's broke, this is broke." And maybe the reason this is broke, that's broke, and you have all these needs is because you're not spending time with the Father. Just saying, right? So prayer, again, is relational communication with the Father. And so, why do I need to have this relation with him? Why do I need to have this communication with him? Because we need something from heaven down here. Right? I mean, we really do. We need heaven on earth. Okay? So I need God's influence from heaven coming into the natural world where I walk, where I live, where I have my being. Okay? So then he goes on here in verse 5 and he says, "And you shall not be like the what? The hypocrites." Okay, this Greek word for hypocrites means it was used in those days for actors, you know, for the Hollywood of that time. Okay, it means you might have in your Bible in the indices there, you might have a word that says it means to pretend. And so the hypocrites there, you know, they were basically putting on a mask. You know, have you ever noticed, you ever come to church and somebody says, "How you doing?" Okay, two things happen. "How you doing?" And things in your life just suck at the moment. And you go, "I'm really doing good. It couldn't be better than that." You know what you're being? You're being a hypocrite. You're being an actor. You're putting on a mask. You know, back in those days, you know, when they did a play or whatever, they'd wear a mask, you know. And so they'd, "I'm this character, I have this mask, and when I'm done with that character, I pick up the next mask." So you have one guy could be playing six different parts, you know, in a play. And so it reminds me of Christians that I know today. You know, we put on these masks that says, "Yeah, it's all good, it's all great." And then we walk out of church and we start crying because nothing's good. I'm lonely, I'm broken, I'm broke, I'm busted, I'm disgusted, I'm sick, I'm this and I'm that. You know, instead of being honest, you know, we come to church being hypocritical. So really what we're trying to do is camouflage what's real. You know, one time, years ago, we were in this church, and there was this family, and we knew they were having a difficult time. We just didn't know how difficult. And, you know, and Sue says, I think we're supposed to give them some food. And he's like, okay. So you know, we talked to him after the service, and no, we're fine. It's all good. No problem. So we went home, and Sue goes, she keeps pushing it. Nope. Something's off. You know, we're supposed to do this. So we took a bunch of stuff out of our freezer, and we took a bunch of our groceries, and when we took it to church that evening, we gave it to them. The truth was, they had no food. None. Zip. Zero. Yeah, they had one jar of peanut butter. Yeah. That's what they had to eat. They had a mask on. It's all good. Because, see, if I'm not going, it's all good, see, I'm in faith. Not necessarily. Maybe I'm in denial. I mean, here's somebody that God wants to use to bless you, and you're turning them down. So that doesn't mean, okay, that doesn't mean we come to church and dump all our problems on everybody. Okay? But you hear what I'm saying, you know. And how about this side of it? You know, when somebody walks in, you say, how you doing? And then, you know, say, how you doing, Jason?
How you doing?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you. And you go, wait a minute, I didn't really mean it, right? I didn't really mean I really want you to tell me what's going on. I just trying to be nice, right? This is another mask. I don't really care how you're doing. I just said that because that's what we say. Well, that's not the right way, right? So when I wake up in the morning, I wake up praying. And it's almost like I hear the Father say that when I get up in the morning. How you doing? And it's not unusual for me to say, well, how are you doing today? I just want to thank you, God, for this and this and this and this and this. That's kind of how I start my day out. That's before I even get out of bed. He knows what I have need of. And we'll see that here in a minute. Okay, so then he goes on. He says, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and on the corners of the street that they may be seen by men. You know, he says, look, if you're doing this, you're just wearing a mask. You know, it's like the guy, there was a guy that was praying, and he was praying in really bad English. He had his nouns in front of his pronouns, and however all that goes, you know, all that stuff. Bill will have to tell you how all that goes. But there was these nouns, pronouns, all this stuff was getting all mixed up. And the people next to him said, I don't even understand your words you're saying. And his comment to them was, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to God. He gets it. Right? I mean, he understands because he sees what's going on in our heart, not just necessarily what's coming out of our mouth. Okay, I'm talking to God. I'm not talking to you. So prayer is relational. And it's not just about getting a need met. God's looking for a relationship. He's our connection to heavenly places in order to draw down his will and his being down to this earth where we move, live, and walk. Okay? He said, that is done on heaven, on earth as it is in what? Heaven. He's our 800 toll-free line. Right? You know, here's the thing about God. He wants to be needed. I mean, you say, well, why does he need to be needed? Well, why does he tell us to praise him? Why does he tell us to worship him? Right? Because he wants to be needed. We're his children. He's my father. He's my children. I'm his child. And so if that's the case, then he wants to meet my needs. You know, now maybe you didn't have that relationship with your father. You know, not everybody has a great relationship with their biological father, or even their stepdad, or whoever they had here. But our Father in heaven wants to meet your needs. He wants to love you. He wants to take care of you. You know, and you say, well, I had a really crummy dad. I really had a crummy stepdad. I really had, you know, maybe I didn't even have a dad. Well, that's where we go. Look to the Word and see what the Father wants to do for us and see what kind of Father he is. Right? He's a good God. He wants to take care of us. So So the problem that we have here, or the opportunity we have here, is to get him involved in our plans. And if we don't get him involved in our plans, then our plans can go awry. So there's a story in Joshua, don't turn there, Joshua 9:14, where, you know, that's when they were going into all these cities and they were conquering, I think they had like 27 cities, but there was one they went into, and you can look it up, 9:14. But they had their food, they had their water, they had everything they needed, and when they were ready to do what they were about to do, they opened up their supplies, and the food was moldy, the wineskins were cracked, it was no good. And verse 14 says this, they did not consult the Lord. See, after Moses died and Joshua was headed into the promised land, man, they were unbeatable as long as they were led by and obedient to what God said to do. He doesn't want bad things to happen to us. He only wants good things to happen to us. And that is something that we have to get in our mind. It's like, you know, people will say this to me. Well, this is all about rules. Well, yeah, there's some rules in there, but it's for my good. It's for my good. He wants to take care of me. And he says if I do things his way, things will go way, way better than if I try to do things my way. And I speak from experience. I'm older than most of you. When I've tried to do things my way, didn't work, not very well. When I did things his way, things work out much better. So don't leave Jesus out of your planning. Otherwise, you're going to end up on your own. So he doesn't want us praying, like, you know, religiously, right? You know, what does that mean? That means we come to church and you pray loud. I mean, you guys pretty much don't do that, but I know people that do that. They pray loud so they can be heard, so they can be seen, you know. No, we don't need to do that. Unless it's coming out of your heart. Really coming out of your heart. It's just between you and him. See, the problem with life is you don't know what's around the corner. And God does, right? He knows what's, you know. So we can be praying this thing so that everybody can hear me praying. We don't know what's coming around the corner. I want to know what's coming around the corner, or at least be ready and built up. So when we, you know, so that's the communication we have with the Father. We just spend time with him, and somehow, some way, supernaturally, things just work out. You know, it's like, well, what was the plan? I have no idea, but God directed my steps. He says he directs the steps of the righteous. So he directs my steps, and we just end up in the right place at the right time doing, you know, with the right blessing that we need to have come through at that time. So it's like when we pray grace, you know, pray before our meals. We call it when we say grace, right? Right? It's something we do before we eat. We say grace. Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. You know, half of you are just mouthing it with me. You know, it's just something we did. Yeah, and you know, when I was young, I had four brothers, and I had my dad, so there were six guys, and they would have a plate of meat on the table, and we would be praying that, and half the time I'd have my fork in my hand. Right. Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, and I am ready to stab the meat before anybody else does. I've already got the piece eyed out that I want. There is no prayer going on in my head. I'm just blah, 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 blah. I'm just saying the words. And as soon as Dad said amen, it was go for the meat, right? There was no faith involved in that. None. Zip. Zero. Right? And I would venture to say that a lot of times when we pray today, when we pray over grace, it's kind of the same thing. It's like, same old word, same thing. We just know, Lord, bless these gifts we're about to receive. Thanks for the day, et cetera, et cetera. You know, there's no faith in that. There's no thanks inside of that. Right? Or am I the only one that sees that, right? So this is something we did because we were supposed to. I mean, we were kids. That's what mom and dad did. So that's what we did. You know, and we still pray before we eat, but we, you know, when I pray over food, because we have the tendency to, because of our schedules, to eat out. And I'm telling you something, when you eat out, you better have faith. You don't know what's going on back there, right? I worked in the kitchen one time when I was younger. I know what goes on. It wasn't good, and it wasn't all that clean, and so on and so forth. So you better be praying in faith that I can drink any deadly poison and it will not harm me, okay?
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense? Okay. So these little things that we do, I mean, we're praying, but we need to believe what we're praying. You'd be just as well off not saying grace. I mean, really, if there's no faith in it, it's like, what's the point? But when we pray over our food, say, Father, thank you for this meal. Thank you for this food. And, you know, we a lot of times when we pray for protection for our neighbors, for us, for our kids, for you. You know, we put all that stuff in it. Well, I mean, we do. It's a time to pray, not just pray over the food, but time to pray. So anyway, he goes on here to say, if you pray like that, I'm telling you what, you've already got your reward. You know, so, oh well. Okay, so verse 6, he says, but you, say you, or say me. So he says, you, when you pray, do what? Go into your room, right? And when you have gone into your room, shut the door, okay? Pray to your Father, again, relationship, who is in the secret place, and your Father, again, relationship, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. So how do we pray? You go into your what? Your room or your closet, okay, or that innermost room, you know, depending on what version you're using. And then he says, and when you do go in there, you do what? You shut the door. You go in there and you what? See, this is not the shower. This is not the car. This is in your closet, your room, your secret place. Remember, we talked about this in the last series. You know, special place, special time. In what? A secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So in other words, when you pray this way in secret, then he's going to reward you openly. If you do it openly, he's not going to reward you. I mean, if you're doing it for the wrong reason. So your prayer life should outshine, your private prayer life should outshine your public prayer life. Okay, so don't be like the hypocrites. You know, people that look, you know, I want them to go ooh and ah over when I pray. And, you know, when somebody oohs and ahs over your prayer, you know what they're doing? You're getting your reward already. Okay? So go into your room, right? The closet, innermost room, shut the door. This is relationship time. Okay? This is relationship time. You and him. Block out everyone. Take the phone. Do what with the phone? Turn it off, right? Because when you start to make this a habit, if it's not, the first thing that's going to happen is your phone's going to start dinging. It's just like if you go on a fast. You tell everybody you're going on a fast. The next day you'll get 3 invitations to go out to dinner. Okay, so just go in there, shut the phone off, okay? I mean, shut it off. Okay, so what's going on here? I'm in the room, I'm by myself, and I'm going to talk to who? The Father, okay? So, why do I have to shut the door? Because it's an intimate time, right? It's an intimate time. So it's you and him, it's a what? A relationship. So we've entered into agreement, we enter into a covenant with him. We go into the secret place, our innermost room, and then he will come in at the same at that time also. There was a time, you know, and I've kind of shared this with you guys before, you know, when I had made a commitment to pray at a certain time of the day, every day. And it was all going really good, and I was doing it. And then one time, you know, I decided to go do something else at that time. And then he called me on it. Because I thought, it's almost like I heard this. I thought we had an appointment. oh, well, then I guess I better go do that. So anyway, so when we do this, he says, I'm going to enter into that relationship with you. I'm going to be there. So you know, prayer is never meant to be a monologue. You know, where we just blah 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 one way, right? Secret place, closed door. You know, I mean, when you go into your bedroom at home, you know, with your wife, and you close the door, what do you? You communicate. You talk. You know, just, well, I hope not anyway. Just one person does all the talking. You know, unless the other partner falls asleep or something. But anyway. But it's a time of communication. So we're behind closed doors, in our little secret place, and we're gonna do what? We're gonna talk to him, and what's he gonna do? He's gonna talk back. Why is he gonna talk back? Because it's communication, right? We have a relationship. And, you know, and so it gives, when it's quiet, then you can hear what he has to say. I've had people tell me that, yeah, I can't really hear God unless the music's turned up to 150 decibels and it's rocking and banging against the wall. And it's like, you can't hear God. Why did he say, tell us to be still and know? You know, because that's when he's going to speak to us, okay? So what's another reason for us to be in the secret place? Shuts out the world. Okay, so let's say you and I enter into a counseling session. So you come into my office, we shut the door. What's going to happen? We're going to start talking about what the problems are, right? You're going to be open. We're going to share all those things. So really what's going to happen, or what we hope is going to happen, is you're not going to be lying anymore. Oh, it's all good. I'm lying. It's not all good. I'm having these issues. I need to talk to somebody. So we get into that secret place, and then we can do what? We can tell the truth. We can tell the truth. God, I'm having a bad day here. I'm having a bad day. Or, man, I'm having all these problems with Mary. You wouldn't. What am I going to do with Mary, you know? You know, or be like Adam, that wife that you gave me, right? And then he's going to say, let's talk about you, bub, right? That's usually kind of the way it goes. So, so you're in this secret place, and you're in there, and you're all alone. It's just you, and it's quiet. And then you know you're going to go home after this, and you're going to try to practice this, and you get in there and go, okay, I don't see anybody else in here. I don't hear anybody else in here. So how's he talking to me, right? So we see in the natural, you see me with what kind of eyes? Natural eyes. You hear me with natural ears, right? So we see and hear in the natural, but God's not, he's not that, he's supernatural. Right? So the word also says, and he says that he is a spirit, right? God is a spirit. He says, and then he says in John 6:63, he says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Okay, so God's into this, he's big into this spirit thing. Okay. So you, okay, now we talked about this in the last series, but you are a spirit also that has a soul, right? And that happens to live in a body. So we've been, for our whole life, we've been trained up with this body thing, be able to see with our eyes, hear with our ears, speak with our mouth. But this spirit thing is a little bit different because we can't see God. We can't hear him with our natural ear. We can't see him with our natural eye, right? But yet we can hear him. How does he speak to us? Spirit to spirit, because he's a spirit. I've got a spirit, so he speaks to my spirit. And so that's why we need to have it quiet. So when we go into this place, it's quiet. This is where we have that dialogue with him. You know, being still, listening with my inner man. And then, so that's the place that we can pick up his thoughts. We can pick up his leading. And then when he speaks to our spirit, then, and we're paying attention, then it will kind of leak over into our soul, our emotions, our mind. And we go, oh, okay. So this is what he's telling me to do. It's got to be quiet, okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, he says, "But as it is written," he says, "eye has not seen." Okay, I'm going to wait till you get there. 1 Corinthians 2. Other way, Jason. It's after Romans, 1 Corinthians. Okay, chapter 2, verse 9. You ever heard this? You never know what God's going to do, right? You ever hear that? You know, everybody says, you know, God, you never know what God's going to do. So he says, but in the Old Testament, that was kind of the way it went, you know, unless he spoke through his prophets. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, he says, "But as it is written," and this is a quote out of the Old Testament. He says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of the man the things that God has prepared for those who love him." Verse 10, but, now we're going to switch from Old Testament to New Testament. But God has revealed them to us through his what? Spirit. So how does he talk to us? Through his Spirit. Where does he speak to us? Where are we located? So in that what? In that secret room, right? Where it's nice and quiet and peaceful, right? The music's, you know, music's not blaring, the phone's turned off, the TV's off, all that stuff. You know, my problem is I got all these books in my office. I'd be praying, I wonder what that says about this. And they're piled up around me. I mean, I got a bookshelf that's like 9 feet long, 6-7 feet tall, all the way full of books, and then I got books on this side of me, I got books on that side of me, and I got books on the floor, and it depends how you look at it. I use them. Right, study to show yourself approved. But, you know, the point is, you got to set this stuff off because it will want to distract you. So that's why you have to get in that quiet place, shut the door. David in Psalms, you know, he said, you know, he talked about meditating prayer all the time, meditating. Joshua 1, you know, he was given instruction to Joshua, you know, he said, "Meditate my word how often? Day and night, you know, meditate my word." We just don't do that. We just don't do that. And then we go, "God, I'm having all these problems. Where are you at?" And really the question is, "Son, where are you at?" God wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to hear what you have to say, and he wants to talk to you. So he speaks objectively, right, through the Bible, he speaks to us subjectively by his Holy Spirit. Okay? Objectively through the Bible and subjectively through his Spirit. They say, I don't even know what to do when I go in this prayer place. You go in this secret place, I don't know what to do. Take your Bible and then just start kind of reading. Well, not you can't kind of read. Start reading. And then just be still. And as you're reading, then a lot of times, as you know, especially in the New Testament, you know, or Psalms or Proverbs. You know, don't read Numbers and all that kind of stuff. That's not going to, you know, help you very much. And just let him talk to you through the Word. Okay? Let him talk to you through the Word. So when the Bible and the Holy Spirit, when it all comes together, as you think through and you listen to what you're talking to God about, then what you're doing is you're meditating on this. You know, David said, in Psalms, he says that he speaks to me in the night hours, you know, when it was quiet. You can't do this in front of the TV. You can't. You can't do it with Amazon, Alexa, whatever it is in the background, blurring away. Okay? You're talking to God. There was this little boy, he was praying, and it was almost Christmas time. And this, you know, so here we are, Christmas time, and so this little boy, he's praying. And he's in his bedroom, And he's, you know, crying, he's yelling, God, please give me a bicycle for Christmas. I need a bicycle for Christmas. I want a bicycle for Christmas. And he's yelling it. And so finally his mom walks in the room and says, son, quit yelling. God is not deaf. Yeah, I know, but grandma is. So sometimes we pray, right, and we're just using God's name to try to make it valid. You know, what was he doing? He was asking grandma to get him a bicycle for Christmas, right? You know, God didn't enter into it. It's kind of like grace, right? So, so don't do that. Just between you and him, get in that secret place and talk to him. Verse 7, he says, in Matthew 6, 7, he says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, right? Back to the grace thing, grace kind of thing. Blah, 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 blah. Same thing over and over and over. For they do not think they will be heard for their many words. And Jesus doesn't tell us to do that, does it? Okay? So, you know, when I was a kid, you know, raised in this certain denomination, we had this thing called the rosary. Any Catholics in here? All right. So, you ever do the rosary? Oh, man. I hated Lent. We had to do that every night for 40 days. 10 Hail Marys, one Our Father, 10 more Hail Marys, one Our Father, 10 more Hail Marys, one more Our Father, 10 more Hail Marys, one more Our Father. You know what I got out of that? I can't wait till this is over. Easter, hurry up and get here. I mean, it was just something we did. Well, we did it because my mom said we're going to do it. I had nothing out of it. Say Hail Mary 10 times in a row. What does that buy you? I'm not picking on Mary, okay? Right, Jesus? Mary's cool. Right? Don't make fun of his mother. I'm not doing that. Okay. But nowhere in the Bible does it say to pray to Mary.
Right?
It doesn't do that. So all these, you know, I don't know. It's just so. And I look back at the things that we did, and it's like, oh, Lord, please forgive me. You know, one time we had this, there was this youth group in my little town I lived in. And they were going to have this thing called a ice cream social. Does anybody know what that is? Okay, well, I didn't. Okay, but I also had this little girl in school that I was kind of sweet on. And she was going to go to that. Well, what that means is that whoever bids or pays the most or whatever gets to have dessert or whatever it was. So in this case, it was cake. So a two-fold thing. But anyway, I think, man, no. And how did you win the prize? You had to share more scriptures than anybody else. You know how many scriptures I knew before that day? None. Well, Hail Mary, Our Father, glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right. So anyway, so man, I got the only Bible we had in the house was this big red Catholic Bible, you know, that Mom used to press flowers in. And so I said, Mom, you got to help me. Somebody's got to help me here. I got to go to this thing because there's no way I want to let another guy, you know, be with her. So we sat down and I think everybody gave me grace. Because nobody would bid against me. So, you know, it's just, I didn't know. And then even when I memorized those scriptures that afternoon, it didn't mean anything to me. I always start off with Jesus wept, the shortest verse in the Bible. You know, Jesus wept. You know, that was mine. Okay. So there was nothing special about that time. None. See, I didn't have anything out of it, right? So let's get into this a little bit deeper, okay? So that's kind of the foundation there. So verse 8. He says, therefore, do not be, what, like them, the non-Christians, the Gentiles, for your father, again, we're talking relationship here, your daddy, knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. How about that? Did you ever think about that? So what he's saying here is, you don't pray to inform God what you need. He already knows, right? So we start our prayers off, oh, Father God, I need this and I need that and I have this need and I have that need. No, he cares, but he already knows, right? He already knows this. So he's saying, you know, when you come to me, don't come to me with information that I'm already completely aware of. Right? Does that make sense? He already knows this. So, you know, but in your conversation, right, in your secret place, in your secret time, you can talk about these things. Like, Lord, you know about this. What should I do about this? I don't know what to do about this. I don't know how to handle this. What am I going to do about Mary? These are the kind of things. Mary hasn't done anything, okay? She's strong enough to let me pick on her for a little bit. So he knows that I'm just supposed to pray. He expects me to pray. And he already knows what I have need of. So what's the purpose of praying? To enter into my relationship with him. Right? I mean, you put it on a personal level. There's somebody in here that you know, and you know well, and you know the things that they need in their life. But when you get together to talk, do you talk about what that person needs and what you need? Or do you talk about stuff? We're just talking. God wants to just talk to you. He wants you just to talk to him because he's your what? He's your Father. He's a perfect father. You had a bad father, he's the perfect father. So, how do you know if you're going to him with the right attitude? If you're going to just be blessed and not going to him as the blessor, because he is the blessor, then you know you're going at it the wrong way. And it's not about being, you know, these last few months, I mean, there's a place I'm trying to go with the Father. And it's just what's become real to me is, I mean, this isn't his attitude, but this has become my attitude. If he doesn't give me anything else the rest of my life, it really doesn't matter because he's given me eternal salvation. They paid that price. And really, what else matters? I mean, if I was to die right now, this second, before you, what would happen? I'd be dancing with Jesus in a few moments, right? So what's the downside of that? You know, right? As I go on living my life, though, and I go about it the right way, seeking him just as who he is, knowing that he knows already what I have need of. You know, we go to that scripture in Matthew 6:33, seek you first the kingdom of God and all these what? Things. So I'm seeking him. I'm not seeking the things, and those things then are being added to me. I don't have to seek those things. He just takes care of it. Well, I've never experienced that. Then if you haven't ever experienced that, then we need to get to the place where we're seeking him more than you think you are now. Right? Does that make sense? He already knows what you have need of. So, for example, this is something I see people do. I have a need. I have a financial need. And so I'm going to start tithing now. God, I'm going to start tithing now because I have a financial need. You said you'd open up the windows of heaven and pour out the blessing that's so large that I cannot contain it. So I'm going to tithe now. And then when you get what you were seeking or what you were giving for, then we quit giving. See, that's not a relationship. That's usury. We're back to usury again. You're not fooling him. You might get away with that for once or twice, but pretty soon, busted. You know, I'm not going there with you anymore because it's not really in your heart. And I think a lot of times when we enter into things with him, you know, we do enter into those things with him out of need, but then he expects us to continue on with that relationship. You know, or I'll just give you something, you know, I'm just getting started in this, so I'm just going to give you something. I'm going to like tip you today. And, you know, and that's okay. I think that's okay when we first get started, but at the same time, we need to start working to doing the tithe and doing the blessing, you know, the offerings and so on and so forth, right? So, I mean, I think it's sad when the only time we give God is when we, you know, is when we have a problem. And that's kind of what he's saying here. I don't want to just talk to you when you're having a problem. I want to talk to you. I'm your daddy. I'm your father. I do want to bless you, but I want to spend some time with you. I want to have some quality time with you, right? You know, I don't know about you, I want my kids to need me. Not that they do, but I want them to need me. That's why I have so much stuff in my garage. Amber walks in there a couple years ago. She looks at me and says, looking around, she goes, anything I could ever need is in here somewhere. You know? Sue's sister came over one time, walked into my garage and says, you need help. Right? Okay, so let's keep on going here. God has there's two things about God he has. He has conditional will and he has an unconditional will. Right? You may not, you know, I mean, I don't know how you look at it, but unconditional will means this. Whatever's going to happen that he's in charge of is going to happen. Right? He's going to, you know, the rapture, the end times, that's going to happen. It's going to happen. Right? And you can pray, try to pray against that all you want. It's going to happen. Okay? Right? I mean, it's just this the way it is. Right? Okay. Then there's the conditional will. What he will do. But only when certain conditions are met. And who has to meet those conditions? We have to meet those conditions. If the conditions aren't met, then the things that are supposed to be ours, you know, that he has for us aren't going to make it to us. So the Bible gives us a list of these conditions, right? So, you know, there's things that come up that we don't know, whether they're an unconditional or conditional will. So that's why we pray for all things, right? And it's like, I don't know what to do about this. Well, let's pray. Maybe it's a direction God's just going to take the nation. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But the bottom line is there's things that I need personally, we need personally, corporately here, you know, that will be based on what we do and how we go about it. So so it's just something that we do, right? So what are some of those conditions? What would some of those conditions be? Say what? Obedience, okay. Remember what he says, when you pray, do what? Forgive. Is that an option? Because he says, if you don't forgive, I'm not going to forgive you. Yeah, but Lord, you don't know what they did. I don't care what they did. He says, you weren't there when you saw what happened to me. And I'm on the cross, nailed to this cross. My inside's all but fallen out. My back laid bare. See, we use that word, laid bare. We don't get what that means. That means his ribs were showing. His flesh was hanging. And he's on the cross and nailed to the cross. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. We get mad at somebody if they don't open the door for us or something small, little, doesn't matter. It just, you know, we can walk around in a fence over many, many things. So he says this prayer in James 1:2. Not prayer, but scripture in James 1:4-2. He says, if you do not have because you do not ask. So he wants us to ask, right? He knows what we have before we pray, but he still wants us to come and talk to him about it. Lord, I know this is your will. I don't go at it this way. It's like, God, here's my list today. I need this and I need this. And you said, I need to ask, so I'm going to ask. So here we are in my quiet time, my special time, special place. And I'm going, here's my list here, here's my list here, here's my list here. See, we've already talked about it. You've already talked about these things. So now what do? I just thank him for him. I think this is coming. I think this is happening. I think this is happening. This is happening. I just want to thank you for that you're still working on that. Remember last week, you know, he's cooking up something. He's working in the background. He's got angels doing things. He's got people. Maybe there's something that we need here that you're the answer for it, but you haven't figured that out yet. So he's working on you, to get us to that point. In Isaiah 65, don't turn there. In Isaiah 65, 24, he says, "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer." See, that's cool, isn't it? I mean, it's going to, before I even ask, he's already sending the answer. Because he knows what I'm going to, he knows. He knows I have a need, so he's working on it. And so the last thing we need to do is stop the blessing from coming our way by not spending time with him. Right? Now, I loved it. And my kids, when they were little, I loved it when they would crawl up on my lap and say, "Daddy, this is what I want for Christmas."
Okay.
Or, "This is what I want for my birthday." Or, "Could we do this or could we do that?" I loved it when I would come home from work and they'd meet me at the front door. "Oh, Daddy's home, Daddy's home, Daddy's home." Now, that was really awesome. Well, do you think our Father in Heaven's any different? He wants us to do that. We go in that secret place. It's like, "Daddy, I'm home. I'm here." He likes that. So I don't want to go to him just because I have needs. I want to go to him because he's my Father. I'm a dad. I understand that. I want my kids to need me. My Father in Heaven wants me to need him. So so a lot of times we look at prayer, it's like, it's just kind of something we do, Okay, so I'm going to go to my room and I'm going to pray for 15 minutes or whatever. So how powerful is prayer? How powerful has prayer been in your life? Maybe that would be a better question. And then we look at how powerful prayer really is. Okay, because I think, it's something, I think it's a Christianese thing that we just say, "I'm going to pray about that." How about this one? "I'll be praying for you, bro." And that's the last time any thought's given to it, right? Or how about, on Facebook? If you're on Facebook, people will go, "I need prayer for this." Right. That's going to happen. And everybody comes out there, "I'm throwing thoughts your way. I'm throwing thoughts." Yeah, great. Whatever that means, I got my crystal here. I'm praying to my crystal for you. And what is that stuff? It didn't do anything, right? So then we go, just how powerful is it? I ask all these people, all my Christian friends to pray for me, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. Write these down. Don't turn there. Write these down. Exodus 32:14. In Exodus 32:14, He was gonna wipe out all the people. And Moses prayed and did what? Changed his mind. Changed his mind. In Jeremiah 26:19, circumstances were going on that weren't real good. Jeremiah prays, and guess what God did? He changed his mind. Amos chapter 2, verse 3, God was gonna bring judgment again on the people, but the people cried out to God, right? And he did what? It says he changed his mind. What do you mean? I read that where the Bible says that God changes not. So that doesn't add up. Here he changed his mind. God never changes, right? Now, is that what the Bible says? Right? That's what the Bible says, right? He says he changes not. Well, right. His character never changes, but his actions can change. And so we see that. Think about this. Your prayer in the right situations can change God's mind. Is that bad? I mean, so what happens here? So things were going on here, and judgment was going to come against these people, right? You know, the judgment because of what they were doing was wrong. And then, because that's how it works, right? God is, he's perfect, and he can't have anything sin before him. And so these people were not doing what they were supposed to do. He's going to take care of the deal. He's going to, like, I'm going to wipe them out. And then somebody comes in there and prays and changes his mind. So what happened? So God goes from, he goes from this part of his character, the judgment part, the not good judgment part of his character, to mercy. Because somebody prayed. Now think about that. He went from you're done to mercy. Because of one man. Or in one of these instances, because the nation turned. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who? My who? Who's his people? We are. If my people will humble themselves and pray, right? Humble themselves. What does that mean? Humble themselves. That means I'm going to set myself aside. I'm going to put myself aside. And it's like, you know, one of those songs I think we were singing this morning, you know, I lay it all out there, Lord. I'm done with this. I'm done with me. I just want you. Amen. Right? So he shifts from judgment to mercy and to forgiveness. He didn't change who he was. He just changed his mind. We can do that. Okay. I mean, that's how powerful prayer is. You know, we just kind of write it off as, you know, it's like, okay, well, I'll come back next Sunday and I'll pray, you know. And if you really think prayer is powerful, I'm gonna maybe make some of you feel bad. If you really think prayer is really powerful and works, you'd be praying with us before the service. Okay, verse 7. You got quiet there. Okay, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Matthew 7, verse 7. He says here, ask, say ask, and it will be given to whom? You. Seek and you will knock and it will be opened. Okay. For everyone who asks, does what? Receives, and who he seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Oh, what man is there among you who, if he asks for a bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, okay, our nature, man's nature, especially when Jesus was sharing this, you know, these people weren't saved yet. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, then how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So, he says, if you treat me like daddy, not like a stranger, that you talk to me like I'm in a relationship, so when you come and ask and when you knock, okay, when you ask and when you knock and when you seek, you know, you're gonna find me. I'm gonna answer you. So in those days, so what's with the rock and the bread? You know, back then the bread was brown. When they make bread, it was brown and it was round. Okay? And so if you look at the pictures in Israel, you know, you'll see the ground there is what? Brown and the rocks are round. So it's like, so I see. That's why he used that thing, right? So if your son, your child, asks for a loaf of bread, you're not going to give him a rock. You're not going to do that to him, right? So he said, well, even unsaved, uncircumcised Philistines aren't going to do that to their kids. you know, if are they going to take a? If he asks for a fish, are you going to go out and get a snake? Clean it out, skin it, cook up the snake. I mean, it's unclean, right? That's unclean. You know, the only good snake is a dead snake, just right? Okay, so Every time I see snake, I think of in the Garden of Eden. Good snake's a dead snake. So anyway, so I mean, you're not going to take that snake and cut it open and then flay it out there and then say, well, here's a fish. You're not going to do that, right? No, that's not what we do. Okay. So if you're a child of God and you're not perfect, right? I mean, well, most of you are, but okay. Speak of myself, I'm not perfect here, and yet I know still God wants He wants to bless me if I'll put myself in that position. We got, this is kind of like the foundation. This is where we have to start. The Holy Spirit is the provider of the goodness of God. You need the Holy Spirit. So, well, I'm not experiencing His goodness yet. Well, let's just look at it this way. He's still cooking up something. I mean, if you're going to the secret place, if you're spending time creating a relationship with Him, a dialogue with Him, don't quit. Don't quit. And you will begin to see. You'll begin to hear. And you'll begin to see what He has for you. You'll begin to hear and see the direction that He wants you to take. You'll begin to see, and we talked about it last week, Romans 8:28, where all things work together for the good. But to those who do what? Who love Him. How do we know we love Him? Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are well-pleasing to Him. I mean, I don't know what's well-pleasing to Him. Start reading your Bible. You'll find out what's pleasing. In other words, I know people will say this. Something will be going on, it's something bad, something ugly, and they'll go, well, all things, you know, I mean, they just got in a big wreck, their house burned down, their boat got stolen, and then they'll go, well, all things work together for the good of God, or for the good of me. Really? Those are good? Those are good things? You know, if you're not doing the love part, don't be quoting the scripture. Because this is conditional. It's like, for all things to work together for my good, then I got to be doing the what? I got to be doing the love walk. I got to be doing those things. There's over, you know, I read this here a couple weeks ago. There's over a billion, every year there's like over $1 billion of gift cards that are not used. $1 billion in gift cards. We spend $1 billion on gift cards that are not going to get used or don't get emptied. You know, I mean, if you took a 300 million gift cards to go out there and you leave 50 cents on each one of them, right? That's a lot of money, right? That's out there that never gets spent. So these companies are making $1 billion off of us because we don't, you know, we're not cashing in our gift cards. Well, guess what? In heaven, there's some gift cards. There's a room in heaven that has blessings. I've heard several people talk about this. There's rooms in heaven where there's body parts, arms and legs and toes and fingers and things hanging on a wall that they're waiting for somebody to claim them. The scripture says that when we get to heaven, He's going to wipe away our tears. You know why He's going to wipe away our tears? Because we're going to go look in our room, and we're going to see all the things that God had for us, and we're going to go, "You got to be kidding me." He says, "Yeah, that was all for you, but you didn't meet the conditions." You didn't take the time. You didn't want to spend time with me. You didn't want to have a dialogue with me. You didn't want to be a friend. I had a pastor one time, a few years ago, tell me, nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that Jesus is our friend. It's like, really? When's the last time you read your Bible? Because the book of John says He's our friend. He says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Jesus is my friend. Think about that. Is there a better friend to have than Jesus? Is there a better daddy to have than God? The Father? No. So let's start this week. Okay, here's your challenge this week, you guys. You know what it's going to be. Okay, I challenged you this a couple weeks ago. Secret place, right? Special place, special time. Well, here we are. We got to keep going, right? We can't just let this go. It's like, well, that was a nice sermon. That was a nice series. Let's get on to something new. Okay, well, let's talk about the secret place behind closed doors. Let's go to that place. Well, isn't that the same place? Right. Now you're getting it, okay? And until we get it, let's keep talking about it, right? So if you want me to move off this subject, get it. And then we'll move on to something else, right? Okay. But prayer is important, right? Not begging, not just telling him what you need, but that dialogue, that relationship, that father-son, the daddy-son, daddy-daughter relationship, that's what's important to him. He wants to know you for who you are. And then you go, Dad, I got all these problems. And he says, well, come up here on my lap and let's fix them. Because I can do that.